It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame, joined here by the golf guru, golf expert, got Uncle Dave in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter as well at Dave_Essler. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, Uncle Dave, here we go. Another Tuesday, another golf podcast. This week we head to Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas, for the Charles Schwab Championship. Last year's winner of this event was Sam Burns. He returns this year to repeat as champion with 30-1 odds. A favorite for this event, probably not a shocker to many, Scottie Scheffler at 4-1. You guys know how we do this. Uncle Dave and I will go ahead. We'll cover our first round leaders, make them miss the cut, head-to-heads, top 40s through top 5s. And, of course, Uncle Dave and I will go ahead and we'll give out our winners. Last week, Uncle Dave, PGA Championship. It was entertaining. I will say that. I watched all 4 days. Kind of spotty coverage for myself, a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the afternoon. But it was interesting. A lot of storylines came out of that one. And an interesting winner for that one, John Rahm, not the winner. And he was the overwhelming favorite, along with Scottie Scheffler. But it was a good tournament. So I don't know what you made of the PGA Championship there, Uncle Dave. We were down maybe 10 units, so that puts us up for the year, right around 10, 15 units on the year. So still in the green, but we got to go ahead and we got to get a couple winning tickets there, hopefully. But what'd you make of the PGA Championship? Did you have fun watching that one last week?
I mean, how could you not have fun? I mean, I kind of mentioned Brooks at the end of our last podcast, but I didn't officially give it out. But he doesn't surprise me because, you know, he's a major killer. I mean, he lives for that. You saw on Friday how he just got into this rhythm and nothing bothered him. And, of course, the block story. I mean, that's all over the world. I don't have to repeat that again. I did see last night where he got invited to the Charles Schwab this week. And he is, I believe, minus 180 to miss the cut and plus 215 to make it. So I guess he's made it in this world. He's got on the big board.
And I'll talk a little bit about him as I get on down our betting card, because I actually have a wager there, Uncle Dave, with him involved in that. Let's talk weather for a little bit. Not sure if the weather is going to be an issue. You're our weather guy for the podcast, or anything we have to be concerned about for this week?
Not at all for what I'm seeing. Of course, I was a little bit off last week. I was right about Saturday, but I didn't see Friday's rain coming. And, you know, it looks to be in the mid-80s most of the week there. And upper 60s at night, so not cool in the morning for these guys, and a minor chance of thunderstorms. You know, I think if I was getting closer to it on like probably Wednesday night, Thursday morning, I would look at the wind. That could be a big factor there. It was last year, so you know, if you're going to add anybody after the fact, I might take a wind player just for argument's sake, but otherwise, no.
All right, well, good stuff there, Uncle Dave. Hopefully, we go ahead. Have a pretty good this week. Let's go ahead. Let's start out with our first round leaders. Okay, Dave, I'm actually going to go ahead and I'm going to take Tony Finau. Now, this is a guy that I picked to go ahead and win it last week. And unfortunately, Tony came up short. I think he's either in this week or just out. I think that's going to be the approach for many of these top golfers in the field. You know, after a tough course last week at the PGA Championship, that was no picnic for these guys. I think many of these guys probably come into this one looking to either hit the send button early or hit the delete button early and get the hell out of here. So I think a lot of these guys are going to look to either put themselves right in line to win this one or to go ahead and miss the cut. Now, I think Finau, you know, that he's probably going to come into this one a little bit disappointed on how he performed in day one at the PGA Championship. That absolutely killed his run to go ahead and get a major there. I think he might actually be a little bit salty. And he might actually come out and actually try really, really hard this week to go out there and get this win at the Charles Schwab. So I'm going to go ahead and play Tony Finau, 25-1 to be the first round leader. I think he's motivated. I think he'll figure out a way to go ahead and get through this course on the first day with some real positive results. So I'm going to go ahead, Uncle Dave, take Tony Finau, 25-1 as my first round leader.
Well, you know, I can't argue with you there, my friend. But I have a couple other ones. The first one I'm going to take is not somebody I've thrown out very often, but I'm just now looking at the tee times, and I love this. Tommy Fleetwood, 40-1. He's got a history of failing to capitalize on weekends, so you would assume he must be good early. I mean, he's been staying under the radar, but barely. He was 18th last week on T5 and T15, the previous two tournaments he played in. You know, as it is, his second-round scoring average I checked is better than the first round, but I mean, he's eighth in overall scoring average. And one thing I just looked is that he has the perfect 9:26 a.m. tee time, which just came out. And why I laugh so hard is because he's playing with Ricky Fowler and Tom Hoagie, for what it's worth. But my other one was going to be Ricky Fowler at 35-1. I mean, you know, down goes his stock after missing the cut. But, you know, that missed cut was, you know, a few horrible holes from making the cut. And, you know, even the list of guys that missed the cut was pretty impressive. So, you know, I don't want to throw him under the bus here, because before the PGA, he had four straight top 20s. You know, because of that, I'm also betting him top 20 plus 125. I mean, he can win here. He's still 11th in shots gained total, 10th in shots gained on approach, which is my favorite stat this week, and 41st in putting. So, you know, maybe we should do a little trifecta box and take him 28-1 to win. I don't know, but that's where I stuck him at first. And I think, is this the week I go back to Brian Harman at 55-1? He's 6th in shots gained off the tee and doesn't suck on approach. So why not also take him plus 190 to finish top 20 while we're at it? And I'm going to look where his tee time is. Well, you're telling me what I need to know about the rest of these guys.
All right. Well, with that said, Uncle Dave, let's go ahead. Let's jump into our head-to-heads. I have one here, and I'm willing to bet that you're not going to like it. Maybe you will. I'll try to convince you. Russell Henley over Justin Rose at minus 118. Last week, I went ahead. I took Justin Rose in a head-to-head, cashed that ticket. Was really happy about that. But Justin Rose went four full days and had a fantastic showing at the PGA Championship. Henley, he missed the cut, so he's going to get some extra rest. So I think I'll have a little bit of a motivation rest angle here with Henley, and I might not have that here with Justin Rose. Now, I know Rose has been playing really well, and I was actually really high on him last week, but I just feel like he's probably going to be a little bit pleased with his efforts and his results from last week. And maybe he just overlooks this matchup with Russell Henley. So I'll play Russell Henley over Justin Rose in a head-to-head there, Uncle Dave, at minus 118. I like it. I don't love it because I've been kind of riding Justin Rose for a couple tournaments now. So that's where I'm at for my head-to-heads. I really didn't see anything else that I really liked.
Well, I actually have Justin Rose on my card, so let's hope Henley goes really low. I had one all picked out. I won't tell you what I was going to do, because the more I looked into it, the more I said I was wrong. And I'm not going to use it the other way around because I've got this guy somewhere else. The only one I'm looking at, Sleepy, I may bet Max over Morikawa. So you probably should just bet Morikawa to win if I do that. But I think Max is, you know, I don't think he's gone all the way back to where he was, but I think he's got a lot left in the tank and something to prove. Morikawa, you know, he just continues to disappoint. And you know, his putting lets him down. I mean, he could win, but, you know, if I'm going to bet one right now, I would take Homa over Morikawa.
You know, I looked at that same one there, Uncle Dave, and I had a lot of questions about both guys. And I said, you know what? I just couldn't come to a final resolution with that, because I made points for both guys, but I looked at that one myself. Let's go ahead and jump into some make and miss the cuts here, Uncle Dave. I have one, and I've said this now two podcasts in a row, so I'm going to say it for a third time. This might be a total square ball pick. And the last time I said that and the time before that, both of those tickets cashed. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Michael Block to go ahead and make the cut. I think every screwball will probably make this pick with me. So I'm right there with you. And I get the entire, you know, that he's got to let down. But I think we have to consider, like, this is this guy's lottery ticket. You know, this is kind of like his future right now that's in front of him. He's obviously going to be one of the biggest stories, if not the story, heading into this week. If he wants this magical ride to continue, all he has to do is go out here and play remotely close to what he did last week. Maybe it's not the best ticket to have, but it's definitely one to have if you like entertainment. I'm guessing, Uncle Dave, he's going to be in one of the featured groups, and you guys could probably watch all his shots on ESPN. You know, if you guys have the ESPN Plus subscription like I do, you can almost guarantee that he's going to be featured, and he's going to be the biggest story maybe of the week. He doesn't want to look like a flash in the pan, kind of a flop type of thing. He's got the entire golf world behind him. He's golfing great. He's actually said that his game is in a fantastic place right now, and he showed that last week. So I think his confidence is really high, and he really looks to go ahead and avoid taking any unnecessary chances. Just go out there and play par type of golf, make the cut. It's only going to help him for the future. So, Uncle Dave, I'm going to go square ball again, 3 weeks in a row. Hopefully I can cash three tickets in a row. Michael Block to make the cut, plus 200. That's what I got for make and miss the cuts. What do you got?
I don't have any make and miss the cuts because I was looking at that same one and I didn't quite have time to figure out what to do with it. But and he's teeing off where I figured he'd tee off. He's one of the last groups out. And I kind of figured that he might be because, you know, he's tees off at 2:28 Eastern time. You know, that means most of the country will get to watch him. And, you know, as you said, they're going to probably show most of his shots. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me. He's playing with Minwoo Lee, who I actually thought about using this week, and Pearson Coody. So, you know, he's not going to have, a Rory crowd, if you will, or, I think that those guys will be bowing to him. So I don't know what that really does for his motivation, but that would be a fun ticket to have. I would do the same thing.
All right. So Uncle Dave going to skip out on making miss the cut. So I'll give you guys that one. Let's jump into some top 40s through top fives. Uncle Dave, I have two. I know you usually have a handful of these, so I'll let you go ahead and rip and run first. Top 40s through top fives. What are you looking at?
Yeah, this was interesting, and I'll get to why in a minute, but Christian Bezuidenhout, top 20 at plus 250. I mean, he had last weekend off after he just missed the cut at the PGA, but in his three previous tournaments, he finished no worse than 28th. And with this field, he really doesn't have to stretch himself too far for us to catch that ticket. I mean, he's a solid putter and has a big-time shots game approach stat, so from a lot of different distances, too. So I think he'll show his face again. I'm going to take Jordan, top 10, plus 160. You know, he played respectable at the PGA, but you'd think based on expectations, and some of them were mine, that he totally sucked. I mean, remember, he was fourth at the Masters, and I believe he lost in a playoff at the Heritage. So, you know, he's also a Texas kid. So for him, this isn't one of those sort of Dustin Johnson tune-up weeks. He's 20th in shots gained total. If he can keep most of his drives in the fairway, which is often his Achilles, he may finish even higher. What to do with Scotty? I mean, I took him top five at plus 110. I mean, he's currently sitting at 4-1 to win. You know, this way here we have some Sunday afternoon wiggle room. And he's also a Texas boy that'll, you know, want to play well in front of the home crowd, or better than he might be if this were the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. No disrespect to Michigan people. And your boy Justin Rose, Sleepy, I couldn't wait to get here. I bet him top 20 at plus 120, so I'm really hoping Henley is 19th and he can win. I mean, I thought this was just an insane price for someone I was a keystroke away from betting to win. I mean, I think some forget that because he's not the sculpted 25-year-old prototypical prohibitive favorite that he can't play golf anymore. When he was 19th last week, he was fourth at the Masters. I mean, T20 in this field, I had to. And lastly, Ryan Fox, plus 320, top 20. He's an Aussie. He finished 26th at the Masters, was T23 last week. And that earned him a temporary exempt status. So he should be super relaxed, but he's not new to golf. He was actually the golfer of the year on the European Tour last year after finishing second to a guy named Rory. And, yeah, I may add a few at some point, but I'm going to tell you why I didn't go for the 150-1 guys, because I saw a little no value in throwing darts. I mean, that's what I call betting into a pool where the longest odds player on the board to win is only 20-1 to make the top 20. I mean, Kyle Westmoreland, he's 2,000-1 to win. So 20-1 to make the top 20. I mean, when you get past the top 10 and a few top 20s, I mean, that's what you're left with. So I'm going to take a pass on looking for those, you know, bankroll builder killers with my money or my client's money for that matter. So, I want to hear what you got, buddy.
All right. Well, I agree with that there, Uncle Dave. I kind of did the same thing, too. I was looking for some of those bombers, and I'm just like, you know what? These guys don't look like they're being priced correctly anymore, which kind of sucks. And I think that, you know, when you get to the PGA Championship, it's like, yeah, you can get – you know, a guy like a JJ Spahn or something like that, maybe that looks really juicy and maybe his odds are really good. But, you know a guy like that's not going to win. So they have no problem going ahead and putting, you know, decent, at least these flashy prices on a guy. But when it comes to these tournaments where the field's thinned out completely and you get to a much easier course, you know, the books could get killed if some guy is going out there handicapped and being like, this guy's really good here. He's really good on this type of grass. You know, he was off last week. You can just start putting everything together. It was like, this guy shouldn't be, you know, 90 to 1. He should be more like 40 to 1. So it seems like they're cutting down the prices on them a little bit. So, again, you know, it's part of our job to go here and handicap and find that stuff out. But I'm with you, Uncle Dave. It didn't seem like you want to be looking for those dart throw type of guys, you know, going into this week. I have two top 40s here, Uncle Dave, and I'm also going to throw a top five in, but I'm going to give that out when I get to my winners. I'm going to go top 40, Billy Horschel plus 160. Horschel, he was cut last week. That can't sit well with him. But Horschel, you know, he really hasn't gotten it going this entire season. Now, he's been here a few times, and I think with a thinned out field that playing maybe him top 40 probably makes sense. I'll play Dylan Wu to go ahead and finish top 40 as well. Another guy that's been good, and he's kind of been hit or miss. Now, he was cut at the Byron Nelson, and he was expected to go ahead and show up in that one. Now, he's never been here before, but something tells me that he kind of bounces back this week. You know, prior to the Byron Nelson cut, he was T21 at the Wells Fargo and T15 at the Mexico Open. So he definitely had something going for himself. So I'm not going to go ahead and penalize him too much for his cut at the Byron Nelson. So I think Dylan Wu shows up this week. I think Billy Horschel shows up this week. I'm going to play both guys to go ahead and land inside the top 40 at plus 160. Uncle Dave, I don't know if you have a nationality prop. Now, this was one that I gave out last week. So if you do, I'll go ahead, I'll throw it to you after this. But I'm going to play the same exact prop that I played last week that cashed easily. And that was top Scandinavian. And I went ahead and I bet Victor Hovland at even money. Well, now Victor Hovland's minus 165 against pretty much the same field. Look, if Hovland comes into this one wanting to win, there's no way he doesn't cash this ticket. This was an easy prop for us last week. I think it's an easy prop for us this week. So, Uncle Dave, I'm going right back to the same prop I cashed last week. Victor Hovland minus 165 on DraftKings top Scandinavian.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's pretty interesting when you know, you look at what he was last week compared to what he was this week. I mean, that's all the recency bias. I mean, that's how this is all driven, which is why, you know, Scheffler's price where he is and Kyle Westmoreland's price where he is. I mean, they just kind of react on public perception, which is why golf can be kind of exploitable. With that said, I don't have any nationality props or other props. You know, I mean, Joaquin Niemann let me down last week, and your boy Mito was the beneficiary of that. So I'm going to pass those unless I have an inordinate amount of time, which rarely happens.
All right. Well, Mito last week got me, too. I picked him to go ahead and miss the cut, and he ended up making it. All right. So with all that out of the way there, Uncle Dave, let's get to our winners. I have one, and I'm going to play this guy to win, and I'm going to play him top five. And that's Tommy Fleetwood there, Uncle Dave. You mentioned him. 30 to 1. His game right now is in a great place. I don't think I have to question his motivation. You know, he's been down for a while, but right now he's 100% back to great form. Now, his last cut was going all the way back to the Phoenix. And since then, it's been five top 20 finishes. And I think he goes for it this week. I think Tommy Fleetwood's looking to go ahead and get back to elite golfer status, looking to get a win. And I think that certainly 30 to 1 for him to win is certainly something that you want to consider. But I also want to consider him top five there, Uncle Dave. This field isn't exactly top heavy. And I think Tommy Fleetwood top five at 6 to 1 makes a lot of sense. It at least gives me a little bit of a buffer that if Fleetwood's there at the end, maybe he comes in second, maybe he comes in third, maybe he loses a playoff. Boy, that would be disheartening if he finishes second, third, fourth, fifth, and I don't have a ticket on him. So I'm going to go ahead and add that in, Uncle Dave. Add that to my top 40s through top fives. Tommy Fleetwood to win 30 to 1. Tommy Fleetwood top five at 6 to 1. That's all I got there, Uncle Dave. I'm taking a one-and-done approach there.
Yeah, I like it. How did you feel when I told you the first guy out of the gate I had was Tommy Fleetwood?
I loved it, and I had to refrain from interrupting you because, obviously,
yeah.
I'm on Fleetwood.
Yeah, no, I get it. I had also to refrain from interrupting you because I got one guy that I've already bet to win. That would be Tony Finau. So, you know, I read a stat that said Finau's seventh in shots gained putting on bentgrass, which is a good start. But since he won in Mexico, he beat John Rahm to do it. I mean, we've probably been expecting more from Tony, really. And, you know, the market said so. He was one of the favorites right after that, I think, at the Wells Fargo, and he finished 23rd. Now, 23rd doesn't suck, but, you know, that's not what everybody bet to happen. And he played last week, too, and he struggled to make the cut. But, you know, look at the other guys who didn't make the cut. I mean, I can't say he just played horrible and did it to himself. Had he not done these things last week, he might not be 14-1. Or I look at it this way, that his odds to win based on what Scheffler is 2.5 times worse. I don't buy that. So I took Tony to win. And I may sprinkle some on a couple other guys. Sungjae at 18, because I just thought I really, you know, I want to use him somewhere. Maybe or Sam Burns at 25-1 because he's won here before. Or maybe you could throw him top 10 or whatever. But, you know, again, to dig deep and find that valuable needle in a haystack, you know, this is the same to me as the top 20 was. And, you know, I gave him a darts with a time limit. And we have a time limit, and I ran out of darts. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, good stuff there, Uncle Dave. You guys got all our picks there. I will say this, Uncle Dave. After watching the PGA Championship, one way or another, somebody has to figure out how the hell we get Brooks Koepka in the field and Bryson DeChambeau and all those guys from the LIV Tour. Like, they need to figure something out because, you know, we only get to see these guys on TV against the world's best golfers, you know, only a couple times a year. And it's just, I guess the easy way for me to say it is it's just kind of shitty. You know what I mean? Like, you and I have been doing this golf podcast for a number of years now, and we enjoy having, you know, these full fields with the world's best golfers. And then when you take them away, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you love to see Bryson go out there and rip one 360 yards down the fairway, or you like to see, you know, Brooksy go and just basically just, you know, absolutely dominate a tournament, and it's taken away along with, you know, many other guys that you and I mentioned. So it was a joy to go ahead and see those guys play last week, but it kind of sucks, you know, going into the next week where you know that you're not going to be able to see those guys. So I'll just leave it at that. I'll say that, and I'm sure that you probably kind of feel the same way that, you know, at least it just feels like golf is missing something. So with all that out of the way there, Uncle Dave, good stuff today. Thanks for jumping on the podcast. You guys know where to find Uncle Dave and I on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame, at Dave_Esler. You guys can always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. With that said, I'd like to wish you guys all the best of luck. Enjoy the games.